Hey, good morning, my boss. I apologize for the delay. In the course of the so the Rav touches upon the very cryptic and the challenging Asogas arrived in Perikei Filchos So maybe that's begin with the Rambam and then again try to see a little bit of the Hasogas arrive at and if we can understand a little bit how the Rav is explaining the Hasogas Shema Toma, writes the Rambam in Perikei Halacha Hey. Shema Toma. Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyeh Kolim Sheyeh. Doesn't the HaKadosh Baruch Hu know the future? Right, I called softly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, knows the future. Yada sheze tzadik v'rasha lo yada. So again, let's be specific here. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know that Reuven would be a tzadik or rasha, or did he not know? Im yada shehu yiyeh tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it, eif shelo yiyeh tzadik. So then, If the future is known, doesn't that mean the future is determined? Vim Tomas Shiyada Shiya Tzadik, however, Ve'efsha Shiya Rasha, well, he knew he'd be a Tzadik, but he could have been a Rasha. Hare lo yada adava boyo. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really know. So how do you reconcile divine foreknowledge with Bechira? In order to know something, it has to be, right? You can't, the same way if you're shooting an arrow, right? You can't hit a moving target. To know something, so it has to be, right? You can't know what isn't. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, doesn't that have to mean that the future is predetermined, that the future is something set? Let's say, why do we as people, why do we know the past and not know the future? Because the past happened. The past is therefore has been determined, and therefore it's nitpas b'yadia. We can and do know it. We don't know the future because certainly on the human level, so that the future is indeterminate and therefore unknown. But if one says that on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level, the future is known, so doesn't that mean that the future has already been determined? Okay. De'e, says the Rambam, this question, or the answer to this question, touches upon major and profound philosophical principles. But the Rambam says, I can, and I do see it necessary to give a tamtzis. This is a fascinating thing. Despite the fact of just how question is, the Rambam felt that all of us need to have a handle on this question. He spoke about it in the Parish of Mishnayos. He speaks about it again here in the Yad. Meaning in his chiburim that, unlike the Mora, were not in intended for some very select audience. No, it was intended for us. It was intended for all of us. And Af al pi kein, Rambam feels that as intricate and profound and challenging as this question is, we all need to have a handle on it. We're not going to understand it the way Rabbi Akiva and the Rambam understood it, but on our own level, we need to have some handle on this. Now, if someone thought I didn't really understand that too well, not to worry. if you think you if we thought we understood it well, then it's time to go back and recognize that we can't understand that fully, entirely. The same way a person cannot understand the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so too a person can't understand what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his knowledge are one. A person and his knowledge are two. That's why I can learn things. I'm still the same person. I can learn things. I can forget things. A person and his knowledge are distinct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his knowledge are one. The way I think and the way I know, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is not the way you think and you know. We don't understand, as it were, the mechanism as to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. But we do know, K-N-O-W, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, and even in the future, and simultaneously, So what did the Rambam answer him? So let's just see the beginning of the Sogha Sarabit. So the Rambam said he didn't answer. The Rambam says at the end of the day, the Rambam said we don't understand. So says the Rambam, so what did the Rambam accomplish? Why raise the question if your response is going to be, well, we don't really understand? You didn't make any headway, and all you did is, if there's someone out there to whom the question never occurred, maybe you've now said something which is unsettling for his emunah. So the Avodas HaMelech explains, and it's so clear that this is true, that one has to come back and try to rethink and try to understand the Ravitz and Soga. The Avodas HaMelech explains that the Rambam did respond to the question in the following sense. The question, the Rambam points out, when we entertain the question of how is divine foreknowledge and human free will compatible, Rambam says, without realizing it, we're making a certain assumption in asking that question. We're making an assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge functions the way our knowledge functions. We're extrapolating from our mode of knowledge and imposing that upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's flesh that out. Dahainu. How do we know anything? So the answer is, we know what is. Let's say, how do we know something factual? How does anyone know what color tie I'm wearing? How does anyone know what you can send in your votes as to whether you think it's a nice tie after Shia, but try not to get distracted now. How does I like it. How does anyone know what knows something? It is. We're able to perceive it. If it's not a factual truth, if it's a logical truth, it is, and we're able to apprehend it. Right? If it's a factual truth, what color my tie is, we're able to empirically, right, with our senses perceive it. If it's a logical truth that 2 + 2 = 4, so we're able with our minds to apprehend it. So it is, and then we either perceive or apprehend it, right? We grasp what is, and that's how we know. And therefore, what isn't yet is unknowable. You can't know what color tie I'm going to wear tomorrow. What isn't is unknowable, because the way we know is we perceive what is. We apprehend what is. So that's the way our mind works. That's the way we know. That's what knowledge means on the human level. Now, what the Rambam is pointing out to us, it goes without saying, is something very profound, that without realizing it, when we ask the question of how divine foreknowledge is possible and still allowing for Bechira, we're assuming that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is the same way we know. And since the way we know, it's impossible to have an indeterminate known future. That's a contradiction in terms. An indeterminate known future is a contradiction in terms. So without realizing it, we're just transposing and imposing upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu our way of knowledge. Says the Rambam, but that is a very, 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 very fundamental error on our part. Because the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is not the way we know. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know? What's his mechanism of knowing? We don't know. For one reason, again, it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, we can't know. And another thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, so nothing is outside of him, right? Hu makomo shel olam. So all his knowledge is really, ultimately, self-knowledge. So we cannot know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So now, when the Rambam finishes, did he answer the question? No. But did he respond to the question and explain why the question is not valid? Yes. And the Rambam is saying if you have someone who grew up in a jungle somewhere, never saw any electric appliance, and never studied any science. And then he sees that you take water, you put it into the freezer, and instead of a liquid, you take out a solid. Or he sees you have water, and then you put it on the fire, and then instead of having a liquid, you have a gas. And he says, it's impossible. A liquid is a liquid, and a solid is a solid, and a gas is a gas. And it can't be that a box turns a liquid into a solid. That can't be. Boxes don't. We have boxes in the jungle. There's no such thing as a box. Okay, if a person transposes and makes assumptions about what he doesn't know, so a person can have all kinds of contradictions. And the question, so basically the Rambam's response is that the question doesn't begin, because we can't know that if there's a question, we can't ask a question without understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and that itself is beyond us. And that's what the Avos HaMelech explains. It's not that the Rambam asked the question and said at the end of the day, we don't know the answer to the question. No, the Rambam asked the question and explained why the question is not valid. And there's a world of difference between those two. Do you hear that, Rabbi? Is that clear? Yeah, okay, good. What's our Sogas HaRavid? What's our Sogas HaRavid? I mean, how does the Ravid not see this? What the Rambam did accomplish with his discussion? Unless what the Ravid holds is, I don't know. This next part is very speculative. Take it or leave it. You may be better off leaving it. I don't know what I'm going to tell you. But take it or leave it. Maybe what the Ravid says is, look, you're writing, your audience here in Mishnah Torah, again, is not a select group of philosophers. You're writing for everyone. People, if you ask people a question, people want an answer. They don't want an explanation for why the question isn't valid. It's not something which is going to satisfy people. He's not commenting on the emes shabo. Maybe he's just commenting on the advisability shabo. I don't know. Is that really pshat in the Ravid? I don't know. Take it or leave it. And if you decide to leave it, I may agree with you. Okay. What does the Ravid say about this question? What's the Ravid's approach to this question? So the Ravid is suggesting tzas tshuva. Let's leave that phrase untranslated for the moment. He's not giving us a tshuva gemura, a tshuva shlema. He's giving us a ktsas tshuva. Im hayu tzidkas ha'odom v'rish asa tzuliyim b'gzeres ha'bori yizbarach, hayinu omrim sheyidiyosu hi gezerasu. If a person's righteousness and or evil depended upon divine decree, so then we would have to say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is because he was Gozer. Then hayinu omim sheyidiyasu higzeirasu, and v'hayisalona hashey l'kasha ma'od. And then, I don't know, we would really be in a bind to try to understand how b'chira and divine foreknowledge, how HaKol Tzofei v'Rishus Nesuna can coexist. However, Achshav v'achshav sh'abori heisir zu hamemshol miyodo u'mesor b'yad ha'odom atzmo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu relinquished that control. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had he wanted, we could be puppets. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose not to, right? He relinquished that control. So whether a person is a tzaddik or a rasha is not toloi on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeira, and therefore his yediyah doesn't have to imply gezeira. Ein yediyaso gezeira. Okay, but if the yediyah is not because he was gozer, so where does that yediyah come from? If really, where does that yediyah come from? It's like the knowledge of astrologers. She yodim mikoach acher ma yiyu drachav shal zeh. If an astrologer is able to predict and see the future and say what's going to happen, it doesn't mean that he was gozer the future, right? When the astrologer reads the stars and looks in the stars and tells you today is not a good day to try to find a parking space on such and such a street, so he's not being and let's assume that he nails that prediction. It's not that the astrologer is being gozer. V'hadovi yadua shakol mikre ha'odom koton v'godol mesore habore b'koach ha'mazolos. Elishinosan Bohaskel Wahasekel Lihioso Machasko Lotseis Mitachas Hamazo Vahu Akor Hanosan Bodin Lios Tovora. So a person is subject to the effect of mazalos. For our purposes, again, mazalos means constellations. That's what it means literally. It doesn't make a difference for our purpose whether a person talks about mazalos or whether a person talks about genetics. Right? There are certain natural forces. We can attribute the natural forces to the constellations. We can attribute them to genetics. We can say that the constellations determine the genetics. It doesn't make a difference. But I don't think we necessarily have to fully, or even partially for that matter, orient ourselves into a worldview with mazalos. Elisha Nasan Ba Sechli Yosum Machazko Lotes Mitachas Hamazal. Vahu HaKoach HaNosan Ba'odam Liyoso Tov Ora. V'habore Yodeya Koach HaMazol Uregov. Im Yesh Koach B'Sechol Lahotzil Lazem Miyado Im Lo. V'zo HaYediya Eina Gzera V'chol Zeh Enenu Shova. So what did the Ravid say here? How did the Ravid explain this phenomenon, this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future despite the fact that we have Bechira? So let's just read a few lines here from the Alei Tshuva and then try to process what we'll say. Kasher Omer HaRavid, if you happen to have the sefer in front of you, I'm reading from the bottom of page 241, the fifth line from the bottom. Kasher Omer HaRavid, even if you don't have the sefer in front of you, that's what I'm reading from, but it might be a less relevant idea. The Kasher Omer HaRavid, when the Ravid says that v'hadavi yodua shekol mikre ha'odam koton v'godol misara habore b'koach ha'mazalos, kavanoso ki ha'chayim tfu'im omnam b'chotam ha'chukatiyot ha'sivatit. There is causality. There is causality in life. Elo, shenosen bo ha'secha liyos machziko lotzis mitachas ha'mazal v'hu ha'koach ha'nosen bo'odam liyos tov ha'ra, Lehechan yehei chok sibatiyot zemalicho. Where this law of causality will lead the person, liyamin or small, leval, letov, dovo zen nosun bideho adam. Habachira chavshit einat zricha lehit arev, kol emas shomed adam lefne hachra'a kol shehi. Ein tzorech shekol pam tachzor v'tavo Abigail, right? This refers to what we had earlier in the drasha. Utalachish lo ba'ozno ki la'achal ela shikaron bo yavo v'ayihi v'mimachas. Habechira chafshit in amadam yodeh levchon nechona, yesh ba la'atzed melechatchila et tatsura bo yagiv memeila u'me'atzmo l'chshiyagia l'regel shanisayon u'mivchan. So, Kimeduma, that what the Rav is explaining here in the Ravid is as follows. It's a dava mechudosh that lechora the Rambam would not agree with, and that is sometimes the way a person will respond or react is not dictated by his decision at that moment, but is the result of processes of decisions that he's made in the previous days, weeks, months, years, decades. Not every situation of Bechira elicits from us Bechira at that moment. Sometimes the operative Bechira is the net result of the personality we've molded over the course of preceding days, weeks, months, years, decades. When a person is put into, and soon Blinada will try to concretize this, and when a person is put into a certain situation, sometimes what he'll do has been determined not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not by forces beyond the person's control, but has already been determined by himself. Now, Hayel Shehadovah came, but maybe first to concretize a little more what this means and to show another one of the Chachmei HaMasorah who is of this opinion. So if you take a look in Mesilas Yesharim, in Perek Tes, if you have one handy, take a look over. So. In Perek Tes is B'biur Mafside HaZrizos V'HaHachok Mehem. Hine Mafside HaZrizos, what counteracts Zrizos, Heim Magdil HaAtzla, is whatever increases laziness. V'HaGodosh of Kulam, the major anti-Zrizos force, Hu B'Kashas HaManucha HaGufanis, is that a person is always looking for physical ease and comfort, lack of exertion, v'sinas ha-torach, despising exertion, v'avas ha-idunim, and love of comfort, indulgence, v'tashlim kol tana'ayim, to the nth degree. Kine odom kazeh, this lazy person, vaday shetichbad alav ha'avodah lefnei baruch kol v'gadol, he's going to experience the demands of avodas Hashem as being incredibly onerous. Ki misha yirtza lechol achilosav b'chol ha'yim menucha. Everyone who wants every meal to be very relaxed. V'lishan she'noso b'lo torad. And alarm clocks are, that's what people use before they had phones when they wanted to wake up at a certain time. And alarm clocks are persona non gratis in his home because he wants to sleep as much as possible. V'yemayim lalechesim lo li'ito. The person only strolls. There's no such thing as walking quickly or breaking a sweat. V'chayotzei b'dvarim ha'ela and the like. Hine, initially Ramchal just says, yiksha olav, it's going to be very difficult for him, lahashkim levatek nesiyas baboker, to get up early for minyan. O lekatze b'sudosam et metfilas mincha ben arbaim, or in the winter, he may find himself eating a late lunch, and it will be necessary to abbreviate his lunch in order to daven mincha on time. It's going to be very difficult for him. O lots of days, to God for the mitzvah, how much more so if we need him to run to do a dvar mitzvah to get to the base midrash. Now listen to this next line. I will say, umisha margil atzma l'minhagos ha'ela, a person who trains himself, who conditions himself in such a way that all this ease and comfort and laziness become habitual, Enenu odon ba'atzmo. He is not sovereign. Lasos heperzek sheyitza. He's not sovereign to do differently when he'll want to. So Ramchal says, mufurish, right? That the person's bechira, there are some occasions when my bechira is not right now, but my bechira is the cumulative effect of the momentum I created, of the habits I cultivated over the past days, weeks, months, years, and decades. The Rav is saying something similar, I think, in the Ravid. Now, if you would have a psychologist who was infinitely insightful, so then the psychologist would be able to tell you a lot of things about the future. Right? These types of circumstances, when they arise, if you had a psychologist who was infinitely insightful, he would be able to, let's call it, read the stars and tell you what's going to happen in the future. Says the Ravid, that's the way the Baruch Hu knows the future. You'll ask, okay, so Nicha, that some cases the Bechira is not at the moment, but the Bechira is the cumulative effect of the personality that I've molded and the habits that I've developed. But are those all cases are like that? So the Chava, definitely not. That's certainly not what Ramchal is saying. That's certainly not what Ramchal is saying, and it just doesn't seem to be the case. So if that's so, then has the Ravid given us any handle on this question of Bechira and Yediya? So that, and therefore, is this the correct Havana in the Ravid? So come back to that introductory line that the Ravid said, Omar Avram, Afal pi she'ein tshuva nitzachas al zeh, Tovu lismoch lo ktsas tshuva. So what does ktsas tshuva mean? So ktsas tshuva can mean either of two different things. It can mean a little bit of understanding in this entire sugya, to understand the answer, the full answer to this question. We can a little bit understand the answer to this question. That's one rendition of Ktsas Tshuva. The other rendition of Ktsas Tshuva is we can answer some of the cases. We can give a partial explanation, right? It's not a partial, you can, if I don't know, if we're partners in raising livestock. So it could be that I own half the livestock and you own the other half of the livestock and then we mate them or whatever. Or it can be that we're both part owners of the whole, right? Not that we're complete owners of the part, but we're both part owners of the whole. Either way, we're only part owners, right? So ktsas tshuva can mean this is a ktsas tshuva for the entire question, or it can mean no, this is a partial answer. It answers some of the cases. If you translate ktsas tshuva that second way, so then we understand what the Ravid means, what the Rav is saying, what the Ravid means, that the Ravid himself wasn't presenting this as an answer for all cases which are subsumed in the Yedi and Bechira questions. He was saying, no, some of them we take it, don't know the answer, but some of them we do know the answer. Because some of them, there are some cases where what I do at 12:30 today is not decided at 12:30 today. It's been decided by how I've lived my life for the past 50 years. And if you would have an infinitely insightful psychologist, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is infinitely insightful, so then, without being gozer, he would know the future. But again, this Havon and the Ravid assumes, and I think that's what the Rav must have been assuming also, that ktsas tshuva means an answer. That's, I'm a partner in that, I fully own part of this. Ktsas tshuva means this is an answer for ktsas of the question, as opposed to being a ktsas tshuva on the entire question. Yeah, Moshe.
I don't understand what it means to have a partial answer. If this answer is sufficient for something that shouldn't, I guess it's troubling me. Shouldn't this answer determine how all of a person's decisions are made? And if not, then it does it's not sufficient for any of the decisions.
Why? It's yesh for yesh. There are cases.
Meaning, if it's only sufficient for some of these situations, then how could Hashem Kiviyachol, the great infinite psychologist, accurately determine the future if not everything is really
totally? That's why it's only ktsas tshuva. That's exactly what we're saying. That's what the Bible. Let's say you come, and you've got 10 questions on the sugya. And you go over to your chavrusa, and you give me a list of 10 questions. And the chavrusa says, I can help you ktsas. Now, maybe that means he's going to contribute to give you some understanding, but not full understanding to all 10 questions. Or maybe that means he'll answer 5 questions for you and not all 10. So the loshon l'chore can mean either. So we're suggesting that the ravid means the latter. He's answering 5 out of 10 questions. I mean, to take a trivial example, but obviously there are non-trivial examples. You know, if you had your choice of cornflakes and Cheerios this morning, I don't know, it could be, no offense intended, it could be that you're addicted to Cheerios and that really it was, you know, the infinitely insightful psychologists would know you're going to eat Cheerios, but more likely there isn't anything in you which makes that decision a function of some inexorable process that you're responsible for. More likely, it could go either way, and the something that's indeterminate until that moment.
Right, but by...
So even Ramchal is not claiming that every situation is like that. Ramchal is claiming that you can have such situations. I don't think he's claiming that everything is like that.
I guess my issue is just that however it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows those other situations, the Chora should really encapsulate these first types of situations which we've been talking about, which means that the answer we're giving to the first group is not the true answer.
I don't know. So maybe that's what the Rabbi says, V'chol Zayin and Hashava. I don't know. Maybe that's the Rabbi's V'chol Zayin and Hashava. Because you're right. Because presumably, when you have 10 questions in this context, is one answer for all 10 questions. It's not 10 different answers. So what's the significance of answering 5 of the questions? I don't know. Maybe that's what the Rav himself means by V'chol Zayin and Hashava. But your question is correct. Is very, very correct. Maybe just in terms of this yisod, again, whether the Rav is saying it here, okay, so I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but Ramchal does say it beforeish. I don't think there's any room for conjecture there. L'chora, you find this approach that whereas we have unrestricted bechira, sometimes we ourselves will have boxed ourselves in. L'chora, you find it in the Ibn Ezra as well. Where? So the Ibn Ezra very famously, as you know, in Aseres HaDibros, asks the question, on Lo Sachmo, that Rabim Yismahu, al Zos HaMitzvah, Eich Yeh Odom Shlo Yachmo Dova Yofir Belibo, Kol Mashu Nachmad L'Mare Einov. How can the Torah legislate Lo Sachmo? Mela, the Torah can legislate, don't do this. Because action is deliberate, action is premeditated, and you can demand of a person the self-discipline not to engage in that action. But chemda, taiva, it's not, sometimes it's, the correct translation here is, it's something which is reflexive or instinctive. Right? If I look at a flower and I think the flower is beautiful, it's not a deliberate, do I think this flower is beautiful? Well, panam lachat, no, you look at the flower, you like the flower. You get a bouquet of flowers, you either like them or don't like them. It's just a reflexive, instinctive reaction. So how does the Torah legislate that? Okay, it's crucial to understand the question to appreciate the answer. Va'ata etem l'cha moshel. Da ki ish kfari sheyesh lo das nachona. A poor, crude, boorish villager who's of sound mind, who ra'a bas melech sheyofa, sees a beautiful princess. Lo yachmor osa b'liba sheyesh kavima ki yeda ki zeh lo yitachin. He's not homemade to be able to marry the princess. But al tachshav zeh hakfori shehu ke'echa min ha-meshugoyim sheyis'ave sheyeh lo knafayim lo uf ha-shamayim. A person is not homemade to be able to flap his arms and fly. So that's the moshel. What's the nimsha? Kocha kom maskel tzorch sheyeda, an insightful person needs to know, ki isha yofa umamon lo yimsa enu odum bavo chochmoso v'dayto, raka shechilek la'ashem. It's not happenstance, the money that a person has, the shidduch, it's not happenstance. It's apportioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person knows that he can no more take away from someone else what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for that person or not for him. A person can no more do that than he can flap his arms and fly, then the boorish villager can end up marrying the princess. That's the Ibn Ezra's answer. But how does that answer the question? When I'm homemade, I'm not thinking. I'm just reacting instinctively, viscerally. So how did the Ibn Ezra answer the question? So l'chora, the pshat is, that the Ibn Ezra is saying that yediyah, that knowledge, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu apportions, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't apportion to us, we're not going to get, is something that a person is supposed to not only know, but internalize to such a degree that it then creates and shapes and molds his instincts. There are some instincts that a person cannot create, shape, and mold. You know, when the reflex reactions that the doctor checks for, like he takes his little hammer and he bangs you on the knee, or so supposedly he's checking for reflex reactions. Sometimes it just means he had a bad morning and he's got a good excuse to take it out on you and you won't be any the wiser. You have to choose your doctor with care, Rabbi saying. But those kinds of, we're not talking about those kinds of reflex reactions. Those we don't shape or mold. But a reflex reaction such as jealousy, such as chanda, we can mold those instincts, but not on the spur of the moment. That's based upon our bechira in the past days, weeks, months, years, decades. So the Chor in the Ibn Ezra also, there are moments, there are occasions when a person's bechira is not a function of what he chooses to do then, but what he has chosen to do time after time in the past. Again, that same yesod as Ramchal in Perek Tes of Einenu Odon Ba'atzmo Lasas Hepech Zek Sheyirtze in some circumstances, and perhaps that's what the Rav is telling us in the Hasagas Haravid as well. Again, the way it pertains to the Tshuva Drasha is that without compromising a person's Bechira, one can know the future of what a person will do, because the future of what the person will do will be something that's been determined by his own Bechira, because a person can create and shape and mold his own instincts, which is something remarkable. Something remarkable. That many instincts, many things that we will later experience instinctively, that will later experience and will happen reflexively, that a person can shape and mold and create and determine what those instincts are. Okay, so we'll stop here. Everyone should have a good gevensh, gesund yor, a gemach simutova, shnaschayim, v'shalom avasai.